Shalom, and thank you for listening at BethEmmanuel.org. If the teachings and audios you find here at BethEmmanuel.org are a blessing to you, please consider supporting Beth Emmanuel with a gift, or become a member of our virtual congregation by becoming a regular contributor. To learn how to contribute, click on the Donate tab at BethEmmanuel.org.
Shabbat Shalom. B'Shem Yeshua. We are learning from the book of Galatians. And we are in the fifth chapter. And I have to tell you that I am a person with a pretty short attention span myself. And this seemingly never-ending series of sermons on Galatians has fully taxed my attention span. So I can imagine how you probably feel. But I would have you know this one thing. There is a method to my madness, at least in my mind there is. And that is to rediscover the identity of these Gentile God-fearers within the apostolic era Judaism, these Gentile God-fearers we're learning about in Galatia, and to adopt for ourselves that identity and those standards of practice in order to settle the vexing questions that have frankly paralyzed our community since its inception 7 or 8 years ago, or however long ago it was. And if we are diligent to keep at this work, I believe Hashem will bless this effort. He will smile on us, and we will leave Galatians stronger to go on to maturity with God's help, to strive for the measure of Messiah with God's help, when we need no longer endlessly wring our hands over these issues. At Beth Emmanuel, we teach that the commandment, the Torah, is holy. It is righteous. It is good. Romans 7:12 says so. And that all disciples of Yeshua, yes, all disciples have obligation to the Torah, even the Gentile disciples of Yeshua, of Jesus. And we also encourage these Gentile disciples to keep the Sabbath, the festivals, the dietary laws. That's our gig. That's what we do here. Our mission, restoring early Jewish Christianity. So, it goes without saying that we like that. We want to see that happen. We want to see believers, Jewish or Gentile, Jewish and Gentile, united in the celebration of God's holy days, His holy day, and keeping the Torah's laws of holiness. Yes, so then, that being the case, why do we teach that Gentiles are not obligated to keep certain commandments of the Torah? Those marks of circumcision we learned last week. If you weren't here, I'll remind you. We read this in 1 Corinthians. This was 1 Corinthians 7. We read this passage. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 17, where it says, Paul says to the Corinthians, and the Corinthians were a mixed congregation. They were a Jewish congregation, a Gentile congregation. It was a mixed group of people. And so he writes to the Corinthians and he says, let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned to him and to which God has called him. This is my rule in all the churches. Was anyone at the time of his call already circumcised, already Jewish? Let him not seek to remove the marks of circumcision. Was anyone at the time of his call uncircumcised? Let him not seek circumcision. For neither circumcision counts for anything nor uncircumcision, but keeping the commandments of God. Each one should remain in the condition in which he was called. Remember this from last week then? Oh, good. Because I understand the marks of circumcision, not literally, but metaphorically. Metaphorically, Paul consistently uses this term, circumcision, to mean Jewishness. Yes? And in his epistles, he refers to the Jewish people as the circumcision. You've maybe encountered that. And he counts himself among that number. And in that regard, then we must wonder, we should ask ourselves, what does he mean, the marks of Jewishness? And I would suggest to you that this is obviously those matters of Torah which define Jewish identity. starting with circumcision, but also the Sabbath and the calendar and the holy days and the dietary laws and the external signs, those signs by which Jewishness is recognized, was recognized in the first century. Those matters to which the God-fearing Gentiles in the first century, in the synagogues already, were not beholden by the community. But as you may know, in the Messianic Jewish movement, parts of it, small parts of it, and here at Beth Emmanuel, this interpretation of mine has not been well received. And even former colleagues of mine have made a new career out of writing against it. It's a huge question. It involves a lot of different passages of Scripture, pretty much the whole Pauline core. But for now, I want to focus in on one simple Bible verse in Galatians 5. I want to bring you this one simple Bible verse, because I wrote when this question first exploded on me last fall, I wrote a paper, and the title of the paper, it was published with First Fruits of Zion, the title of the paper was One Simple Verse. And that one simple verse is Galatians 5:3. Last week when we studied Galatians, we made it all the way through 5:6. So you might be thinking, why are we going backwards now? But last week I intentionally skipped 5:3. I neglected it because I didn't have time to sufficiently develop it. Let me read it to you here. 5:3. Here's what Paul says. I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole Torah, the whole law. You already know the context. Gentile believers in Galatia, God-fearing Gentile believers, they were fellowshipping in the Jewish community. They were probably already more or less Torah observant, probably more observant than we are. According to Paul's teaching, they were sons of Abraham. We've learned that. By faith, sons of Abraham by faith. They were part of the greater commonwealth of Israel, he says in Romans 11, where he talks about them being grafted into the olive tree of Israel and so forth. But legally, halakhically and legally, they were not Jewish. Some of them wanted to become legally Jewish. And some of them thought that they had to do this because they had become believers, that they were required to do this. Yeah, so, not just the men, though, the women, too. Might not notice that. It says, I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole Torah. But the word man in Galatians 5:3 in the Greek is actually a gender-neutral term in Greek. It should be translated as person. Every person who accepts circumcision. And this raises a problem, a question. Did Paul imagine that the women wanted to be circumcised too? Of course not. He's not using the term literally. He's speaking of circumcision as the equivalence of conversion to Judaism. So to put it plainly, the verse says this, I testify to every person who becomes Jewish, that he is obligated to keep the whole Torah. He's not speaking of simple medical circumcision. Many people groups in the ancient world did practice circumcision, more than just the Jewish people. It was not an exclusively Jewish practice. Paul was not talking about the actual literal presence or absence of circumcision. He was talking about legally recognized Jewish status within the Jewish community and the Roman world. Therefore, Galatians 5:3, in my opinion, is irrefutably simple to understand. To my knowledge, Not a single peer-reviewed, credible scholar within mainstream Christianity, within Judaism, within Messianic Judaism, or biblical criticism at large has ever interpreted this verse to support the idea that Jews and Gentiles actually have identical obligation to the Torah. Pauline scholar Richard Longnecker says in his commentary, which we have in the library, he says, Paul here points out that circumcision obligates one to keep all the prescriptions of the Mosaic law. Yes. Jewish Roots scholar Brad Young, in his book, Paul the Jewish Theologian, says, Paul maintained that if one is circumcised, he is required to keep all the law, all the commandments of the covenant made at Sinai with the children of Israel. Orthodox Jewish New Testament scholar Pinchas Lapid says, of course, all of this exemption from the Torah applies only to Gentile Christians. For Jews and for Jewish proselytes, the Mosaic law, as Paul sees it, retains its full and unaltered validity. In his commentary on Galatians, Messianic Jewish scholar Reb Shulam says, those seeking circumcision are binding themselves to the observance of the whole Torah. Jewish New Testament scholar Mark Nanos observes, Paul's own comment in Galatians 5:3 bears witness to the concern for full Torah observance that obtains for Jewish people and extends to those who complete proselyte conversion. That in his book, The Irony of Galatians. And then he goes on to note that Gentiles who become proselytes to Judaism, take on Jewish identity, he says, quote, will then be obliged to observe the whole law. Will then be obliged to observe the whole law. And we could go on and on and on and on. And we can try to spin it, but the simple plain meaning of the text is obvious. It's just obvious. And if it's obvious, then the inverse is also true. The inverse is true, that every person then who is not Jewish is not obligated to keep the whole Torah. Because if he was, then he wouldn't say, if you become circumcised, you will be obligated to keep the whole Torah. You get it? So the logic is pretty simple, I think. But it teaches us three important things. Number one, there's a difference between being Jewish and being Gentile. Number two, Jewish believers are obligated to keep the Torah, the whole thing, and as much as it applies to them, of course, you know. Not everyone's a priest or a Levite or a man or a woman, right? But number three, non-Jewish believers, also obligated to keep the Torah, but not liable for the whole law in the same way as a circumcised, a halakhically Jewish person. Right? Three simple things. Okay. There's some ways we could try to get around this. I've heard some people try to avoid the clear implication here that I'm drawing up by explaining that Galatians 5:3 refers not to the Torah, but to the oral law, the oral Torah, the rabbis, rabbinics. Yeah. You say rabbinics and you can get out of anything. Is it possible that Paul here means to refer to oral Torah instead of written Torah? What is oral Torah? It's the traditions. It's the oral Torah. Is it possible that's what he's referring to? That perhaps what he meant was, if you become Jewish, you will be obligated to keep both the oral Torah and the written Torah. Whereas Gentiles, on the other hand, only required to keep the written Torah. This is an explanation that's out there. It does not work. First, Paul never spoke of Jewish tradition as Torah, nor do the apostles. The concept, the term oral Torah, had not appeared in Jewish literature yet, as far as we know. The oral Torah as a formal body was not yet compiled. It was not codified until Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi did so more than a century later. Instead, when Paul talks about what we call the oral Torah, he uses the term customs of the fathers. And he uses the term traditions, the paradosis, the traditions. But he never equates these with Torah. He never calls them Torah. None of the apostles did. Secondly, this interpretation fails anyway because it admits a difference. So if you're arguing for no difference, nevertheless, this still admits a difference. It admits that Jewish believers do have a different obligation than Gentile believers. They must keep the written and the oral, but Gentiles only keep the written. Okay, well, that's one try. It raises this question, though. People say this. They say to me, come on, would God have two different standards for his people? Yes. Yes, he would. And Galatians 5:3 proves it. Think about it for a second. The Torah itself differentiates when it offers different laws for distinct people groups, such as men, women, widows, children, judges, kings, priests, Levites, strangers, the natural born, and so on and so forth. Each people group is held to a different standard. For example, it's not a sin for a Levite to go to the funeral of his best friend. But it would be a sin for a Kohen, for a priest, to do so. Two different standards. Same people of God, two different standards. So, here's another question then. Well, what parts of the Torah did Paul and the apostles think that the non-Jews didn't have to keep? Did he think that they could, for example, commit adultery? Or charge interest on a loan from another believer? What do you think? Problem is, he doesn't say here. He doesn't say what, you know, what, and I think there's a reason for that. There's a reason for him not enumerating a list of commandments that would suddenly become incumbent upon the proselyte to Judaism. And the reason is that that was well understood in the synagogue in Paul's day. The difference between the commandments incumbent upon all people universally and the commandments incumbent upon a Jewish person was something well understood in the synagogue, at least argued well in the synagogue, in the Torah culture to which the Galatians already belonged. However, I'll have you notice this. He does give us a list. Just a few verses later, he does give us a list. He provides a list of prohibitions and a list of admonitions, positive commandments. Starting in verse 14, and to Paul, these standards of behavior, he calls them self-evident. He says, for the whole Torah is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other. To keep